Well, good morning. Thank you. My name is Rod. This is Marion, my wife. Family, why don't you guys stand up? In the back is Dylan. My two daughters are in your kids' church, I think. Levi was the djembe player. Chantel, Gracie, Ezekiel, and Joy. Gracie and Ezekiel and Joy, they're all three students in the school. They're also Ezekiel's. Sort of, they're related, and we just love them, so we call them our kids, and we travel around the country with them. You guys can sit down.
We have two more.
And we have two more older sons that are on the west coast of the U.S. They're in the back.
Okay.
So we've been married 28 years. It's been an adventure. We're going to tell you a little bit about it, and I'll let Marion start.
Okay. Well, I'm just so excited to be with you guys. When you're talking about the voting for righteousness, and we just got back from being in your parliament. We were with Rob and Fran Parker up in Ottawa, and so we would go from the National House of Prayer and walk each day to the parliament building and pray in the House of Commons. What a privilege you guys have. You can sit right in there, and your prime minister is right there, and you can look at him while you're praying for him. I mean, it was just like, this is awesome, because we've been in D.C. days on end, months on end, and have you ever seen the life tape with Brown for Life? It's red tape. They will pray outside of abortion clinics for the ending of abortion with the tape over their mouth, and it has life written on it. And so we did that down in D.C. Rod will tell you more about that. Down in front of the Supreme Court. So up here, I'm just so excited with what you guys are doing. We got to know Fatine and totally love her. She came down and joined us when we were in Nashville. And you were also talking about, life. You were saying something about that. Anyhow, we were the ones, Bound for Life Toronto. We were, Rod and I started Know Not This One in the States, which is a ministry connecting the pregnancy crisis centers with intercessors. And so we've been standing for life for the last 7 years, actually a lot more years than that, but with Lou Engle. And again, Rod will tell you some about that. But I am a Canadian. I was raised in Victoria, BC. Yeah. And my relatives, you know, like talking about redigging the wells of revival and what even happened here in Toronto. You know, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a great harvest. And he doesn't just tease us. He doesn't say, taste and see, and I'm not going to give you any more. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's because he wants to answer above and beyond anything that you could ask or imagine. Well, you could easily imagine anything that took place at Toronto for those of you that were there. But he said, above and beyond anything you could ask or imagine. So don't grow weary. My relatives had gone down to the Azusa Street revival back in the 1900s and came back to Canada, were greatly influential in just the move of the Spirit across the land. And then Rod and I, we got to experience, at the same time you guys were experiencing Toronto, we were down in Pensacola, Florida, experiencing revival down there. So that's definitely our heart and our passion. I don't know what stories Rod will tell you. At one point when we jumped on the ministry with Lou Engle, Rod was wrestling with God. He's like, God, I'm not an activist. I know abortion's wrong. I don't agree with it. I have 7 kids. I've proved I don't agree with it. And about that time, God puts his face in the carpet, and 2 hours later, he comes up, and his face is swollen from crying and weeping. And I mean, I was like, is he okay? Anyhow, he comes up, and it was like, you okay? And he said, God said to me, he says, this may not be important to you, the whole abortion issue. You may not call yourself an activist. This may not be important to you, but it's important to me. So although our hearts cry out for revival, the prayer that Lou Engle wrote was, God, end abortion and send revival, you know, to Canada, to North America, whatever country you want to put in there. But you know, it's like we have to rid our country of the innocent bloodshed. And then we're just asking for a great outpouring of the Spirit. So I so felt the presence of the Lord as we were praying back there this morning. And I know God wants to just rekindle hope of the covenant promises that he has put within your hearts, that they are yes and amen, not to give up. Do not grow weary, for in due time you will reap a great harvest.
Amen. Well, I'm not a Canadian, but I married a Canadian. And I have 7 Canadian children. And a nephew. Don't grow weary. That's really what I felt like the Lord said this morning, is to talk about his faithfulness. So I'm going to tell you about his faithfulness to us and just his faithfulness in your life. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes, and I'll give you some of the, just a kind of a background from where we came from. We, 1990, well, we met in Bible school way back, way in the early 80s. Married, felt called to ministry, but didn't really know, find our niche, and so I had a great idea to start a business, so we did that, and I went kind of down the business road for about 7 or 8 years. And about 1995, the Lord just kind of interrupted my plan, and we experienced revival, personal revival, just in our family. And long story short, I was teaching a class in church, and the Lord said, you're teaching these things, but you're not living it. You know, because I'd been to school, I knew all the stuff to teach. But he said, you're not living out what you're teaching. There's compromise in your life, and there's you know, you've let stuff into your life that should not be there. So he started just really opening me up to truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so we started saying, okay, Lord, what does this mean? How then do we live? And during that time, we heard about something happening up here in Toronto. We'd heard about that. I think Marion's mom had been there and different ones. And then we heard about something in Pensacola. And so I had a free plane ticket to go anywhere in the U.S. And so we're praying, Lord, where should I go? And we were in this process of learning to hear the voice of God together as a couple and as a family. You know, instead of just I would pray, like, Lord, would you bless my, you know, business, whatever I'm doing, and they thank you, amen, and I'd just go do it. Rather than, Lord, are you really wanting me to do this? You know, what is your wisdom? What is your will? And that cost me 7 years of hardship, labor, and debt. Because I didn't really ask the Lord. I just did it and asked him to bless it. So we're starting to learn how to hear the voice of God. And what do I do with this plane ticket? Let's pray about it. Okay, so we pray, and the Lord clearly said, go to Pensacola. Did not have a clue what it was. Never, you know, I heard in passing, yeah, there's something happening down in Florida, in Pensacola. So we get there, and there's actually a group of us ended up going. We get there, and we go an hour early because we want to get a good seat. And we get there, and I turn the drive around the corner, and there's 2,000 people lined up in front of this church waiting to get in the front door. And they've been there all day. And it was a weird, I mean, I'd never seen this at a church before. Thousands of people lining up at the door. They stood there all day long to get into a meeting that started at, you know, 7 o'clock that night. And those 3 days wrecked me in a good way. I walked in and I started weeping from the first hour, just encountering the presence of God. I mean, the crazy stuff was happening. Now, I'm from a Baptist background, so it was, you know, my eyes were big. I was like, what is going on here? But I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been longing for, the presence of God. And from that, I went home, and I realized I can't go back to business as normal. In fact, it was a month or two later, we shut that whole area of our life down, and the Lord said, come follow me. And it's been an adventure ever since. It really has. It's been fun. And So we, from that long story, we started on our adventure of listening to the voice of God and then walking in obedience. And the thing is, He is so faithful. I really believe He wants you to understand how faithful He is. So how do I go from this, Lord? There's so many stories. I could tell you hours of stories. I want to tell you the right ones. So He started prying our lives out of the great American dream, you know, little by little. First of all, He said, I want you to volunteer in this church full time. So we did that for a year. And He got us to where we're getting low on finances. And then He said, now I want you to move to Florida and leave all your stuff behind. And we thought we were going for just 4 months to go down to the revival just to get soaked in it real good and then come back. And I was going on staff with the church. And so we get down there, and then He says, now I want you to sell everything you left on the West Coast. You know, He tricked us, really, is what He did. But He was prying us out of our mindset and our values, you know, of just materialism and stuff. And so once we got out there, and then He said, get rid of it all now. And so I'm thinking, and then He said, now stay here. Don't leave. You know, stay here and go, you know, for the three-year program. And we really thought that God was going to send us to, you know, China or somewhere. Because now we have no belongings. We got rid of all of it. You know, where Jesus said, you know, what? Yeah, I got in trouble. I went back to, you know, sell the stuff and get rid of it. And she said, now we went through her closet. So she said, now keep this dress, keep this outfit, give those away. And so we had this whole pile, you know, different ones I was supposed to bring and keep and leave. And somehow I got them all mixed up and they all ended up going. So I get back and she's like, where's my stuff at? And it's like, well, I don't, you know. And then she said, what about that desk? In the top drawer of that desk was all my sewing stuff, you know, all the extra stuff for sewing, bobbins and all that stuff. And I said, that just didn't have a top drawer. I don't know what you're talking about. So we went through just the adjustments of letting go of the, you know, of the stuff. Letting go, the hooks of materialism God was pulling out of our heart. So, okay, Lord, we're ready. What do you want us to do? We'll go anywhere you want. And I went from having a business, making, you know, pretty decent money, and going to Bible school again. I had to go to school the second time. The first time I was distracted because she was there. So I had to go again so I could listen this time. I was making minimum wage working for a church doing their maintenance a few hours a week with five kids. And I'm like, Lord, how do I do this? How do I even begin to feed a family with, you know, I remember there's some weeks my paycheck would be $20 for the whole week. How do you live on that? You don't. You can't. And so God was, He took us through a whole time of retraining us to hear His voice and walk in obedience. So I'm sitting at school. I'm in a chapel service. They're sending a missions team to India. And I have $50 in my pocket. And the Lord says, the bag's coming down the aisle. And the Lord says, put it all in. I'm going, but Lord, that's our food money. You know, He's teaching me about His faithfulness and to hear His voice. So I say, okay, well, okay, but that's our, you know, that's our money for the week. He put it in. So I put it in. We get home and there's a check in the mail for $100 from somebody I hadn't talked to for 2 years. They just, you know, just thinking about you guys, bless you. And so it's like right away there's $100. And then I get a phone call from somebody who said people want to do this anonymously, but they want to give you a gift certificate to the local grocery store for $100. And I'm going, wow, look at that. I gave $50 away. Now I got $200, you know, in the same day. And then the guy says, well, no, it's not for 1 week only. They want to do it for the, as long as you're in school. $100 a week for as long as you're in school. It was about $8,000 of grocery money that was provided. So listen, the whole thing is God is able to do, you know, the scripture far above all you ask, think, or imagine. He's able to do those things. As we walk in obedience, He is faithful. And we've seen Him be faithful to us. We've got crazy stories. I read George Mueller's biography. Now, have you ever heard of George Mueller? He just by faith, by prayer, he fed and clothed and housed and educated orphans. And he had at one, I think at the high point, over 1,000 orphans in these houses. And he did it all without, you know, without trying to go raise money and itinerate. He just would pray. I mean, there were times where they would sit at the table and there's no food. There's no food in the kitchen. And they would sit down and pray and thank the Lord for this provision, and there'd be a knock at the door. The guy was going by with a cartload of vegetables, and the wheel broke. Can you take these vegetables? I need to get them off my cart so I can fix it. You know, just in time for dinner. Stuff like that. And so I was like, Lord, you did that for him. And by the way, George Mueller, did you know that he was the number one supporter for Hudson Taylor, China Inland Mission? George Mueller put millions of dollars into China, into Chinese missionaries. And he did it all without... He just did it by prayer. So it's like, Lord, if you can do this for him, why not today? Why not us? And so he challenged me, you know, there's ways you can raise money and itinerate, and I actually support missionaries who do that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying for us, the Lord said, trust me, make your needs known to me, and I will take care of you. So it's been an adventure. I mean, has it been easy? No. There have been times where we've learned the difference between our wants and our needs. You know, I'd like to have a steak, but really what you need is some food, so rice and beans is good for you, really. It's a lot better than red meat if you eat too much of it. So the Lord starts showing us that the things that we need aren't always our wants, but learning to be thankful. I think you were talking about that. Just that, operating that attitude of just thanksgiving and gratefulness. So, stories. One time I'm going to get to some scripture here in just a minute. One time we were in school. We'd been there for several months, and we're in the process of just being retrained and trusting God. And it's a Sunday. Sunday evening, we had enough food. We made cupboard surprise. Have you ever tried that? It's everything in the cupboard, you put it all together. And we made that for dinner, and that was lunch and dinner, and there's no more food in the house. And this is the first time that we'd been like down to zero. There's no money in the bank. There's no, and Levi was like about a year old then, and he was on his last diaper, and he needed diapers. It was wet, you know. And so we go to church that night, and I'm thinking, Lord, somehow you're going to have to provide it. We walk next door to the church because we couldn't drive anywhere because there's no gas in the tank. We were like at the just empty on everything. And the next day I had to go to school, and there was, you know, we needed groceries, and it's like, how are you going to do this? We go to church, and this man comes up to me and he says, I want to give you something. And he hands me a really nice study Bible, and it's like, wow, thank you, that's nice. And Marion's going, I wonder if we could sell it, you know. She's, because we're like, Lord, we need money, we need, you know, provision. But, you know, it was an awesome gift. And so we went home that night. It's 10 o'clock now, and I gather the family together, and I say, okay, we have to pray. You know, we need breakthrough. This is God has never left us without. We got to pray. And Marion's going, I think you need to go pray on this one. So, you know, there's no faith left in the house. So I go outside. I'm going to go out and sit in the car or in the van and pray. Instead, I went out and I walked next door to the church, and I was just remembering before the Lord. You know, just when you get to times where it just looks bleak and it looks like, oh my goodness, you know, you have to have those monuments. Think back in your life. When has God proven Himself to you? When have you said, that was the Lord, and you know that He's provided, you know that He's come through, you know that He is, it doesn't just have to be finances, it can be, you know, any area of life. Think back on those times when you know God has proven Himself to you, and He's been there for you. In the low times, you have to rehearse those. David encouraged himself in the Lord in the midst of, you know, having his whole family stolen from him. He went to the Lord and just encouraged himself in the Lord. So that's what I was doing. I'm walking back and forth by the church, and I'm just remembering, Lord, you this is your fault that we're here. You know, I didn't ask for this. You told me to come to Florida, and I just started remembering his faithfulness and how he had brought us as far as we were, because we'd seen some really awesome things. And then there came a point where I just like, Lord, you have not changed. I know you're the same. You haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. I'm not in sin. I know that, you know, the scripture says, cast your burdens upon the Lord. He will sustain the righteous. He will not allow them to be shaken. I just came to that point of, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how this is going to work from here, but I just trust you. And I just started worshiping the Lord instead of whining and complaining and, you know, Lord, I bless you. Thank you for you. I just started proclaiming the goodness of God right in the face of a circumstance that was totally opposite. I started proclaiming the goodness of God and the blessing of the Lord and just worshiping him. And I'm just doing this, and 10 minutes later, this car pulls up. And this the guy that preached at the church that night came to move his trailer that he had parked there. And so I helped him back it up and hook it up, and then I went back on praying. He came over and he said, as we were talking, he said, you know, the Lord told me tonight to keep this. I didn't know why. And then he said, it's for you. And he reaches in his pocket and he gets out a $100 bill and he hands it to me. And I hadn't told him anything that was going on. Just, you know, it's just the Lord just moved his heart. So I go back in the house for 45 minutes later, and I gather the kids and I say, hey, you remember how we prayed, you know, for provision? And so I pull this $100 bill out of my pocket and it's like, here it is. And you know, Mary's jaw just drops to the floor. It's like, you know, did it fall out of the tree? How did you do? We have seen time and time and time again where God has been faithful to us. There's a scripture, Isaiah 25. He just highlighted this to me the other day. I was just reading through. It says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Perfect faithfulness. So just break down those words just for a minute with me. Just think about it. Perfect, flawless, complete, lacking nothing, absolute, perfect faithfulness. Faithfulness, trustworthy, loyal, dependable, unwavering, steadfast, devoted, perfect faithfulness. God is perfectly faithful in your life. So what about when circumstances are screaming in your face just the opposite? What about when everything around you looks, you know, the job and just all the circumstances of our life? How do we still claim that God is perfectly faithful? Just think about some biblical examples of that. You know, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, or father of a nation, right? And now Abraham is 80 years old, and he's still waiting on the promise. Now he's 90 years old. Now he's 100 years old before the Lord fulfills the promise to him of a son. What about Joseph? You know, the dreams of the, you know, leading the being a ruler and all his great dreams, and then he's the next thing he knows, he's in a pit. He's in a dungeon for how many? What, like 14 years? Where is God's perfect faithfulness in the midst of the struggle and the trials? Because we all have our own set of them. Some are different than others, some are greater than others, but where is God's perfect faithfulness in the midst of all these? The Lord is not intimidated by struggle. In fact, the Lord uses struggle in each of our lives. He gives us a prophetic word. He gives us a promise. He gives you visions and dreams. And then there's the struggle between the vision and the dream, the promise. There could be months, even years of struggle that he takes you through. Now it's not misery at all the time, but the struggle is purposeful. The struggle is needful. We don't grow when everything is just great. You know, when everything is perfect, when everything is going right, you know what happens? We get lazy. We get lax, we get complacent, and we get, you know, if we have excess, we spend it on ourselves. When we're struggling, there's something in us that it's actually our best moments when we're going through those struggles. That's, if you look back in your life, now not that we want to always live there, you know, I like comfort as much as the next person, but if you look back in your life at the times when you've really grown the most in your relationship with God, it's in those times where you've like, oh God, help, you know. The struggle is valuable. The price that you pay in your life is a lot of the reward comes out of that place of struggle. And God is perfectly faithful. He didn't make a mistake when he told you this is where your destiny lies, and now you're 5 years down the road and it's like nowhere to be seen. You can relate to that? He didn't lie to you. He didn't make a mistake. He is using the elements of time and struggle and building patience and building character in your life so that when you get to the point of fulfillment, that fulfillment will not destroy you. Did you hear that? He doesn't want success to wreck you, because it can very. I mean, we've all seen it. People who have soared into this you know place of fame and fortune and crashed and burned because they did not have character to sustain it. He's more concerned with your character than he is your comfort, because he loves you. He's a good father. He's perfectly faithful. So. That was all free. That was the introduction. What time are you guys done? About 5 minutes? 1 o'clock? Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, we got 15. Good. I won't be long. I just want to give you a couple of things to chew on. I want to give you some things to dwell on over this next week about God's faithfulness and about his commitment to you. In Psalm 25, let's look at Psalm 25 for just a minute. Verse 14. It says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He will make them know his covenant. The word, you know, covenant, it's been used a lot, but in the Hebrew culture, the covenant, when they made a covenant with each other, this was a serious thing. It was life and death. They take an animal, they cut it in half, they make this oath with the other party, and they actually walk between these pieces, saying, if I break this, you know, this is what will happen to me. Basically, it's not just I'm going to be friends with you. It's like whatever is yours is mine. Whatever is mine is yours. If you go to war, I go with you. If I'm struggling, then you will help me in whatever way you can. It's a covenant of, are you all with me? Do you understand where I'm going? This is like total commitment. This is the secret of the Lord is covenant. He is a covenant-keeping God. He's called us as his people, his sons and daughters, into covenant friendship with him. So when we come to him and we, you know, we don't just come and say a prayer, and now we're in the club, and now we can go about our life and just go to church once in a while. When we come to Him, He's saying, I want your life. I don't want you to say a simple prayer and then go live your life like you're just going down the road like you were living. You know, I'm a businessman, I get saved, now I'm a Christian businessman, I go to church once in a while. No, the question is, you come to the Lord and you surrender, now you say, Lord, what would you have me do? Do you want me still to be a businessman? Do you want me to be, you know, a missionary? Do you want me to be what is it? What is your purpose and plan for my life? I surrender my life to you. This is covenant. Because when you give your life to Him, I mean, He gave His life. Jesus spilt His blood for you, right? When you come to Him and you surrender your life to Him, your life is not your own anymore. That means He has the right to say, I want you to take your wealth and spend it on this orphanage. I want you to take your wealth and invest it into missions. I want you to take your dream and sacrifice it. God called to Abraham. And Abraham says, Lord, here I am. In the Hebrew, it's hineni. And basically, Abraham, he understood covenant. When the Lord calls, yes. That's the answer. Doesn't even know what the question is, but yes, Lord, I'm here. What would you have me do? He did not know that the God was going to say, now take your son, take him to that mountain over there and slay him. The answer was already yes before he knew what he had to do. That's covenant. So the Lord can take a family like ours and take us from one side of the country, take us to the other side of the country in Florida, and then He can say, okay, now I want you, now that you've left everything and you're ready to go, I want you to move to New York City. I thought we were going to China or somewhere, and He said, no, go to New York City. Move your family there. And my answer is, Lord, I'll go anywhere on the earth you send me. Yes. That's my covenant to you is yes. So as we start doing this, and we've been in school for a few years, and now we're leaving Florida, we're moving to New York City. We're both from, you know, she's from Victoria, B.C. We're from a small town, and New York was the last thing on my mind that I would consider doing. So we're moving to New York. We have no contacts in New York City. We have no money. And, I mean, literally, we paid all our bills, and we have no money left. We can't even rent the moving truck. It's 2 days before we're leaving. And this is how crazy. We had boxes everywhere, and people would come in. Oh, you guys are moving. Yeah, we didn't tell anybody. I mean, I only tell stories after we've already we've lived through them. Because in the midst of them, it's like, we are so crazy. People would not believe that. But, the Lord had confirmed it many ways. He had confirmed it, and we knew, and our leadership our ministry we were a part of, they were all saying, yes, it's the Lord. We're with you. There's no money, but we're with you. So 2 days before we're to load up and go, we go to say goodbye to some friends, have dinner with them. As we're walking out, the lady says, oh, how much is that moving truck? And I said, it's $500. She goes, oh, good. She hands me an envelope, $500 in it. I mean, she knew from the Spirit already how much it was. So we go, we get the moving truck, and we're loading it. We have no gas money. And we're loading it. Two or three people come by during the day to help us load, and each one, as they left a little bit of money. So now we're driving out of Pensacola, whatever evening it was, and we have enough money to get halfway to New York. And, you know, and it's like all our friends think, yeah, it's all together, God's taking care of them, whatever. I don't know what they thought, but we're going to New York, so we're driving out, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is the craziest thing. And we had had a prophecy over us when we got to Florida that you came in, you know, with I don't know, I can't remember the first part, but the part I remember was, you're going to leave with the wealth of the kingdom. And I'm thinking, Lord, what about that wealth part? You know, I mean, we're leaving with enough to get us to Atlanta. And the Lord spoke to me, says, as you have need of it, the provision will be there. And it was just like, you know, the Levites, they didn't own property in the land. They just, they were always provided for. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm taking that word. And so we're praying all the way there. We get to Atlanta, up north of Atlanta a little ways, and we're there and we're praying, okay, Lord, now what? As we're praying together as a family, and our kids were with us in the midst of this whole thing. It was, you know, this wasn't just me. It was a family adventure we're on. We're all going to live or die together, you know. And so as we're praying, the phone rings, and it's somebody from the local area, and they wanted to have dinner with us. They leave us on, you know. And each time, it's like, Lord, if you're in this, then you do it. I'm not going to make it happen. If I have to manipulate it, then I'm going to go back to work, you know, go back to business. So they leave a check for us. We want to bless you guys. So into what you're doing. So now we have enough to get to New York City. We're driving in 2 days later on a Sunday night, driving into New York. And I have one phone number of a guy I've never met. A lady came to a prayer meeting we did previously, and she said, my uncle's brother lives in New York City. Here's his phone number. I think he has apartments to rent. So I've been trying to call him all week, and he wouldn't ever return my calls. So I finally get a hold of him on Sunday night. We're driving in through New Jersey. We don't have money to pay the rent, but it's something. You know, it's my only contact in New York is this one guy. So finally, he answers the phone 9 o'clock at night, and I'd say, yeah. We're looking for an apartment, and he says, well, I've got your messages. I only have one apartment available. It's in Queens. It's been vacant for 7 years. It's above my funeral home. You can look at it if you want it, you know, if you want to look at it. So we met him there, and the place had been vacant for 7 years, like storage in it, and crazy story. Anyway, we talked with the guy. This guy was a New York businessman, not a Christian, not impressed with the church at all. He didn't particularly like Christians. And so I just said, we're coming here to, you know, to work in a ministry. Really, the Lord said, go to New York City and pray. That was our mandate. It wasn't, we didn't have a position. We didn't have a salary. Go to New York and pray. That was all we had. So as we talk, the guy says, you know what? You guys are going to have a hard time finding a place in the city. Why don't you just, you can stay here. I'll give you the first 3 weeks free, and you can start paying rent next month. And it turns out we stayed in that place 4 months, and he would not take a dime of rent from us the whole time. So within an hour of driving into New York City, we have a free apartment in Queens. And if you know of anything about New York, that does not happen. I mean, it was complete favor of God. And that was enough time for the Lord to open doors. You know, 4 months later, he opened the doors for a house. So we lived in the house for the next 2 years there. But we have seen God be faithful. I'm telling you, he is able. So let me finish this thing on covenant. And then we'll go home. Or go somewhere. when you walk in obedience and surrender, see, that's really where our struggle is, because we think that all this that we see and experience and all that we look to as security, we think it is so important. When we lay down our securities and our will and our ambitions and our dreams, and we just trust God with it all. The other side of covenant is when you are in a place and you have a need, he is a covenant-keeping God. The resources of heaven are available to you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. You know, like I told you about Abraham, Moses said the same thing. God called to Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Samuel, sleeping by the Ark of the Covenant, God called to Samuel, and Samuel's answer is, Hanani, here I am. God calls to Isaiah. Isaiah says, Hineni, here I am. Yes, Lord. That's the answer of yes. So look at Isaiah 58, verse 9. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. As you walk in that place of covenant with the Lord, there will come times where you're going to say, Lord, help. And his answer is, yes, here I am. He is there for you. You need favor. You need wisdom. You need healing. You need direction. His answer is yes. As we walk in this covenant friendship with him, I'm telling you, he is perfectly faithful. There may be some things that we have to wait till the other side of, you know, in eternity to really understand it. Lord, why? Why was it like this? Why did these things happen? But I'm telling you, you will agree with me, even if you don't now. There will come a time when you will look back and say, he is perfectly faithful in all his ways. Even through the struggles and the pain, he is perfectly faithful to you. So, Chantel, why don't you come on up, worship guys, peoples. You too. My wife's going to sing a solo for you. No,
he is so faithful. There was a story the other day, somebody was telling us about how when, it's another one of the families that are connected with Lou in ministry, and they had to go with Lou meant selling their horse. So she sold her horse, and she hears on the news that this barn that she had sold her horse to had burnt down. And all she knew is that her horse was in that barn. She had called the barn, and they didn't know where her horse was, and so she thought, that's it. It's over. God, why did you do that to me? You called me, and I laid down. I sacrificed, and I sowed it into a good purpose. And now, God, the very horse that I gave and I sowed, it's dead. I mean, God, why? So just a few months ago, she was out at that barn, and she was going to volunteer her time. And didn't she walk into the barn? Susan, she walked into the barn, and she saw the horse. The horse story. Yeah. Anyhow, she walked into the barn, and there was her horse. It was like, God, all along. You know, you think right now. Go ahead, Chantel. Let's just close our eyes right now. And I want you to just hold your hands up. Hold up some of your assumed broken promises. Like, God, where were you in this? You said do this, and it's turned out like that. God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? God, you said that you were going to pour out your Spirit upon my life. You said that you would bring me a spouse. You said that you would give me a career. What about the ministry that you called me into? Where are you? He's been there all along. All along. He's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is with you. Those dreams, the winter has passed, the springtime has come, that the harvest of the Lord will come within your life. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. For in due time, you will reap a great harvest. Those very things, those very promises, those dreams that are starting to even come back to the surface of your memory right now. Some of you, you've been just pushing it back to the side, going, I can't even think of it because it's so painful. Pulling it out of the cellar of your heart and looking at it once again and saying, God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. You are the resurrection life. You are the resurrected God. You are the one that breathes life into all of my dreams. You are the God of Psalm 20. That you have actually, you are the one that gave me the desires in the first place. The desires to sing, the desires to preach, the desires to evangelize, the desires to see the heal and see and heal the sick. The desire to make money and sow into the kingdom of God. The desire for a family. A desire to know what it is to be a son and a daughter. The desire to know what it is to be a mother and a father. The desire of knowing our Heavenly Father, that He loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is a covenant-keeping God. His word is yes and amen. His word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was sent forth. His word in your life is yes and amen. I want you to just raise those promises up to the Lord and give them to Him once again and say, okay, Abba, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, would you breathe life into these dead bones once again? Would you breathe life into these shattered dreams once again? Would you breathe revelation, rhema, the revelation of heaven above into my life once again? Because you are God and there is no other. You are a Father. You are my Father. And you have not abandoned me. Mother, that you can be a good father, that you can be a good sister, a good brother, a good son, a good daughter. That is not too late. Don't give up on yourself. He hasn't given up on you.
Circumstances, situations in our life that would say the exact opposite. We declare you are good. You are faithful. Through every pain, through every tear, through every trial and every triumph, you are good. Our hope is in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for every breath that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the good in our life. Thank you for dreams and visions and hope. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, forgive us when we whine. Forgive us when we get looking at ourselves and our own problems. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your life, for every beat of our heart. Lord, that we can, that we have friends, that we have family. Thank you that there's so much that you've done for us. Thank you for giving us life, for your spirit in us, God. Thank you. We declare that you're good. To every lying accusation of the enemy, we say, the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The next time the enemy comes and it starts accusing, it starts whispering in your ear, complaints, accusation, discouragement, depression, fear, anxiety. This is what you say. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. This is your weapon. This is the weapon of your warfare. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The enemy will be put into confusion. Lord, I thank you that you love us in the midst of all that we, our failures and our brokenness. You are totally in love with us. You are totally committed to us. I thank you for your patience and your kindness and your compassion, Lord. We bless you this day, oh God. We bless you. And you will turn the destruction of our life into beauty. The ashes into something glorious. Because you are able to do that. We bring you our brokenness today, Lord. Thank you for your healing and your restoring. We bless you today, Holy Spirit. We'd just like to invite those of you who want to be prayed for, to receive some prayer ministry, come up to the front.